It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Showtime indeed! Finally Friday here! Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime clocking in at 6:02 on your Friday. You've made it. Congratulations. Another week done and gone. Glad that we can be with you here to take you up into your weekend. A big football weekend! Oh, last one at home for this season. Crazy to think about, but it is here. It is here, and we will get you all sorts of hyped up for Tennessee's game against the Missouri Tigers tomorrow at 3:30, nationally televised CBS game. Not a lot of good games to pick from, I guess. CBS decided that this was going to be the best one, so that's going to be a thing tomorrow as well. Getting you all sorts of hyped up. Ready for that one tomorrow. Got a lot of good discussion about this game tomorrow. We're going to give our final thoughts. Going to give our thoughts on a lot of other games going on around the country, around the conference as well tomorrow, because there's still a lot of pretty good marquee matchups going on Saturday as well. But without further ado, I am your host, Tanner Carson. To my left, RB Rick Butler, doing double duty after producing the Drives Remote. As he always does.
Starting off the weekend nicely.
Absolutely. Running the boards for our show, the always reliable Cole McCormick. He will be taking your phone calls. He's going to make sure we sound good. He'll be dropping some sound drops if he needs to, if he sees that it's going to be fit. Bunch of jaws we got him doing up there. Gentlemen, we've made it. How we feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great right now. I'm excited for this weekend. I think it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm actually going to see, unfortunately, I won't be going to the game. I'm going to Charlotte to see the Charlotte Hornets versus the Philadelphia 76ers basketball.
Really?
Game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little weekend trip with some of my buddies. We felt like that was a good enough basketball game to go to, and especially making it good enough since the Jimmy Butler trade. So that'll be fun. I'm really excited to head there tomorrow.
I was about to ask you, what was the decision-making process like in picking that game?
Well, this was the weekend we had to do it, and that was the game that was there. So we decided yes.
Makes sense.
that was about
fair enough.
It. That was about it.
That is fair enough. Well, then, hope you have fun, Rick. Sad you won't be on campus tomorrow.
I know, me too.
Can't hang out with you at leaderboard or anything like that. Gonna miss out, buddy, but sounds like a fun trip, though. Charlotte is a nice city. I'm a big fan of the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, the Queen City, home of Charlotte Flair and Ric Flair.
The Woo! Nature Boy.
Woo! Gotta love it. Well, tomorrow, of course, it being the last home game of the season, you are going to be having Senior Day tomorrow. 13 seniors will be making their final trek through the Giant Power T, leading out onto Shields-Watkins Field. Going to be introduced, of course, over the PA system, going to waltz out there, greet Jeremy Pruitt. It's going to be an emotional day, man.
Always is. Always
it's
going
to be a very emotional day. Looking at the seniors going to be honored tomorrow, do a quick alphabetical order rundown here. Micah Abernathy, Paul Bain, Dylan Bates.
Man, he's still here?
Yeah. God. His tenure is about mercifully over. No offense to Dylan Bates, but man, sometimes you just don't. Sometimes you just don't have it. Keller Crist. Oh, what we thought was going to be with him. Crist hath risen against Alabama, but now he's going to go bye-bye. You got Malik Elian, wide receiver. DJ Henderson, one of the JUCO guys playing defensive back. Back on defensive line, you got Alexis Johnson Jr., Todd Kelly Jr., man.
Yeah.
Overall, good tenure he had.
Yeah.
Just unfortunately, it didn't end the way you would like it to.
He had a little bit more expectations, but some of that wasn't his fault.
No, not really. He had to battle a lot. Speaking of injuries, Jonathan Combo will be honored. Of course, has not played since the Auburn game with that torn ACL. Got Madre London, grad transfer from Michigan State. You thought he was going to do more than he has done. Kyle Phillips, going to be sorely missed. Another guy that's probably going to be sorely missed next year. Shy Tuttle. Old Shy Turtle.
Yeah.
He'll be gone. So, a couple big names, and certainly some not-so-big names.
Yeah.
But the most glaring amount of names is, man, and I know it's been talked about today, but look at all this defensive line depth.
It's a lot. You're going to miss. Even guys like Paul Bain, you know, who's a backup but has played critical downs.
Real quick, I forgot, I don't know why I skipped over his name, but Jesse Medford as well. Mm. Long snapper.
Mm, okay.
So that's all 13 of them.
Key position.
We respect long snapping here on Overtime.
Long
so
snapper, you.
We definitely have to respect that. But yeah, I mean, we've been talking about all day, and we'll carry on some of the conversation here, but man, all three of these guys, key playmakers this season, Shy Tuttle, Kyle Phillips, Alexis Johnson Jr. Good for Alexis Johnson to finally have a good year. He finally, it took him a while, went through off-the-field trouble, went through just not being able to be a contributor on the field, and all of a sudden, very productive year for him. So you're going to have to be replacing all three of those. And I think when you look at senior day, you obviously – you have to think about, well, who's going to be the player you're going to miss the most. And I think it's a consensus that we're going to miss one of these guys on the defensive line the most.
Yep.
The question now that I raise is, out of Kyle Phillips, Alexis Johnson, and Shy Tuttle, which one of those guys will Tennessee miss the most in their production next season?
Okay, can my answer be all three?
I mean, it's fair, but I mean, if you had to...
But you need one.
If you had to pick one, though. If you had to pick one. Because, man, it's... All these guys bring something very important to the table.
They do. Yeah, and I thought about this kind of a lot throughout the day. But my answer is still Alexis Johnson. That's not taking anything away from Kyle Phillips. It's certainly not taking anything away from Shy Tuttle. But kind of like you alluded to a second ago, we have just seen Alexis Johnson make leaps and bounds this
Absolutely.
Year. This year especially, right? And being able to stop the run, being able to just create havoc right there in the middle of the field, right in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
He has just gotten better and better. Hypothetically, I would love to see what he could do with one more year, especially under Jeremy Pruitt. So I think that's probably the guy that I would take back if I could. But I think, and I kind of forgot your question, but if your question was... I know, I lost my train of thought.
Which one of those defensive linemen would you like to still keep for next year? Like, who do you think Tennessee's going to miss the most next year out of those three?
Okay, well, I would like to keep Alexis Johnson. I think we'll miss Shy Tuttle the most.
Yeah.
I kind of dodged your question.
Alexis Johnson's stats, just to give you an idea of his improvement. So last year was the first season he actually got playing time. Didn't do much last season, only 14 total tackles. Had two sacks, though, so not entirely bad. This year, however, 40 tackles, four TFLs, and two sacks. And he also has a pass defended. So interesting. The big man breaking up passes.
Yeah. Getting that vertical in.
Absolutely. Good production from him. Cole?
Yeah, I'd say Shy as well. I think if he wouldn't have had so many injuries, he would have been so dominant. I mean, because when he first came in, he was already dominant. And then, you know, he had his...
Yeah, as a freshman, and then that little turd from Georgia had to take the cheap shot.
Yeah, if he would have had...
I hope that dude's working as, like... I hope he's, like, literally cleaning out, like, sewers for a living or something.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. But if he would have had a full 4 years of playing, I think he would have been up there with Derek Barnett, Reggie White, as a great Tennessee defensive lineman.
That's fair, and I think a lot of comparisons he was drawing, at least from his early dominance, if you want to talk about that defensive tackle position, like a John Henderson. what he was able to do in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. And I know Khalil McKenzie drew those comparisons when he first started, but then he actually played football. And then, yeah, he couldn't draw those comparisons.
Sure.
I like what Shytel's done this year, man. I mean, good Lord. Sacks, interceptions,
yeah,
the blocked kicks, which are absolutely huge. I mean, I know that the way the game was going, it probably wouldn't have made a whole lot of difference, but what if Kentucky does hit that field goal that he blocked? I mean, that brings them back within two scores.
Sure.
And then if that puts more pressure on you on offense and you're not able to convert anything, if you do a quick three and out, then who knows, maybe Kentucky gets momentum. But for Kentucky to have that long of a drive that they had and then to sail for a field goal and then to have that blocked, that killed their will to live.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, he's been a wrecking ball all year.
I love that finally we had a full year of Shy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's paid huge dividends. Okay, y'all are going with Shy and Alexis. I'm going to have to be in the Kyle Phillips camp.
Okay. Sure.
I know that those big bodies up there at your nose tackle in the 3-4, absolutely important. But, man, I still would like to keep a great pass rusher. And Kyle Phillips, man, he has had a breakout season.
Sure, yeah.
He's been fantastic. I think he's been, for the most part, pretty consistent. 43 tackles, 6 TFLs, 3 sacks. Had that pick 6 against Alabama where he threw two off of him.
Yeah.
That was great to see.
Well, that was Jalen.
I'm sorry,
it?
That was Jalen. Yeah. But he still threw a good quarterback off of him.
Threw him off.
And you talk about Kyle Phillips, another guy who has taken great strides this year. Right? Like, even just glancing over at your stats over here, in every single column,
yeah,
increased production. I mean, and I think there's a couple of different things you could factor it up to, but I really think that some of these guys are significantly improving in this Jeremy Pruitt defense.
That probably plays a big factor into it.
Like,
maybe
you got to think that's a huge part of it.
Usually in most new coaching staffs where you have to do the complete defensive philosophy change when you switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4, or I guess in the Bob Shoup case, you weren't really running a base 4-3. You were doing that base nickel or whatever, yeah, but you were still doing the base 4-man defensive line. You change that, usually you see some regression. Defense has played a lot better this year.
Significant.
You've seen guys take amazing strides. And I don't know if that's just scheme. I don't know if that's coaching. I'm sure coaching plays a big part into it. But it's probably just Jeremy Pruitt's his focus on that defensive side of the football, the say that he has in it, because let's face it, he's basically the defensive coordinator as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it pay off huge dividends to all three players that we're talking about here, all three seniors going to play their last game at Neyland tomorrow. And any other, I know we've been talking about these three defensive linemen, and certainly you're going to miss them next year. Let's look at some of these other guys real quick before we hit this first break. Any chance you can miss Micah Abernathy next year, at least with his tackling ability? Yeah. Maybe Todd Kelly. Other than that.
Yeah, that's depth. It. Yeah.
I mean, just looking at this list, again, like I kind of said a second ago, I think Paul Bain has been great as a backup coming in when you need him.
What a great story for him, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Working not only at Champ Sports as a walk-on, he was working at some type of meatpacking plant. Yeah.
He's another guy who's been to my house to hang out before.
Really?
Yeah. My friends are great friends with him. I think maybe you miss Keller Chris, depending on what side of the argument you're on that one. I mean, I won't. But you still got people. Yeah, still a couple of haters out there.
Well, they need to quit.
But that's kind of it. I mean, obviously, guys like Kongbo, London, you would have liked to seen them do a little more, see what they could have done with a little more time. But I think you mostly stick with those defensive linemen.
Yeah, Kongbo definitely an overall disappointment. However, man, he went out on top. Had the game of his life against Auburn. Had to sacrifice the ACL, though.
Mm-hmm. He gave us that one great tweet.
That
was incredible. The one great tweet.
Man, he'll live on in our hearts, him and his tweet.
Hang up those cleats, dog.
Never forget Jonathan Kongbo. Mondre London, is he a disappointment? He's really not done anything this year.
No.
He's really not. I feel like I don't know. We put more stock into that in the preseason than we should have.
I mean, it's hard to say a one-year grad transfer was a disappointment. I mean, we kind of knew what we were getting coming into it. There's a reason why he wasn't starting at Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that we expected him to be our starter, our bell cow, but, I mean, he's not even a huge contributor. He's only barely got over 200 yards this year.
Yeah.
He's got three touchdowns, but...
I mean, the only thing he's really done is just add depth. You know, there's always that insurance just in case something happens to... Tim Jordan or Ty Chandler.
And like he,
we got Madre.
I've seen him be plugged into some formations as like a fullback.
Yeah.
So he served his purpose, I guess. Biggest disappointment, though, man, and you hate to see it just because of, I know the kid's tried hard. I know he's battled a lot. I know his dad meant a lot to Tennessee, but Dylan Bates, man. We were thinking so highly of that.
You want to talk about a disaster.
Oh.
That was a, and still is, a disaster.
I hope the kid has a great life in something other than sports, because he's not going pro in sports.
Man, but. I had genuinely forgotten about him.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was on the roster.
Man,
be totally honest.
I remember being so excited watching his commitment. Because he did it like on ESPN or whatever it was.
Yeah, and he was highly sought after.
Highly sought after. And he gets here and nothing. Which, you know, maybe if we had a better coaching staff when he got here, maybe he could have been something.
Maybe wouldn't have fell victim to some injury bugs
for
the better strength.
I mean, because there's a reason
staff.
Why he was, you know, so highly touted out of high school. Yeah, he's not just some guy. I mean, he's got talent, but it's just
got the NFL genes in him, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, but however, I mean, whether they contributed a lot on the field or not, special shout out to all 13 of those guys making that final run through the tee, because I know that's going to be a very special moment for them. And, glad to get to share that with them for sure. Hit this first break here. Open up the McKinney Team phone lines, 865-546-8200. Great show, jam-packed with content. At 6:30, Lucas Panzeca will be joining us. Give us some preview of some college football going on around the country, his thoughts on the Missouri game, and as always, he's going to talk about the Titans. Of course, got to get some love to the Titans out there since he is in the Mid-State out in Dixon. Hit this break here. Overtime rolls along after this. Back in on overtime, 865-546-8200. That is your number for the McKinney Team Hotline. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams defines success with one measurement. That is client satisfaction. If you aren't left with a positive experience, then, you know, they haven't done their job. Because the Knoxville housing market is as hot as it's ever been. And you need a team of professionals in your corner fighting for you. Visit ZillowKnoxville.com to browse all their listings and to also learn more about our wonderful area. Their number is 865-548-8267. Go get a hold of Travis and Emily McKinney. Got years of real estate experience, appraising experience. They are the team that needs to be in your corner if you are in the market for buying a home or if you need to go through the process of selling your home as well. And they are proud sponsors of the phone lines here at Fan Run Radio. Get back into some of this talk about Missouri tomorrow. Missouri's still I think they're still a 6-point favorite.
That might have gone down to 5 or 5.5.
So it's still hovering close to a touchdown.
Yes.
Do you agree with that, though? I think Missouri should be the favorite. I think they're getting a little too much credit, though.
It's up to 6.5 now.
Really?
What?
Mm-hmm. On ESPN, so it's 6.5.
Okay, then.
Yep.
Is it bad luck to throw some money on Tennessee?
57 over under.
Tanner, I agree with you. I do think that they probably are the more likely one to be the favorite. I don't disagree with that too much. You know, Tennessee's coming off one good game and two more or less disappointing ones before that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd probably have that down a little bit, maybe around anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5. I think is more reasonable. 6.5 seems kind of excessive.
I think,
right?
A lot of this is predicated on the fact that Mizzou is also coming off a couple back to back conference wins, and the first one was going down to the Swamp.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And dominating. They also had the better record, so they had the edge there. And it's probably people hesitant to put money on Tennessee just because, hey, you know, you had the two good wins over ranked teams this year. We see that, but at the same time, Mizzou's got this good offense.
Totally.
And some people probably just see the name Drew Locke and they're like, yeah, put me however much down Mizzou. They're probably not. I don't know. They're really thinking about context or whatever. I don't know. They just know they've heard that Mizzou's got the offense, and they know Tennessee's been inconsistent this year.
Yeah.
But Missouri is facing a Tennessee team coming off a huge win, a win that we talked about before the Kentucky game was played. If you beat Kentucky in a certain fashion, that can springboard the Vols to 7-5. So now you're facing a Tennessee team that should be fired up as all hell. They should be very fired up and very confident about this game. It's senior day. You know the crowd's going to be crazy. It's your last chance to get redneck as hell in the south end zone or the north end zone. I'm not going to judge. The south end zone is God's end zone. But I'm just saying, whatever. We all bleed orange when we get in there. If you're a southie,
you know that's right.
A northie, if you set in the upper deck, if you set in a box, doesn't matter. Does not matter. You're going to have a fired-up crowd there. And you're also going to face a team that not only is probably very confident, but they also know what's at stake. You get this win, that's number 6. You're going bowling.
Mm-hmm.
You're going bowling no matter what happens next week against Vanderbilt. I wouldn't want us to lose to Vanderbilt, though.
No.
But
no,
still,
no, no.
You're going bowling if you win tomorrow.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, right? We can't just kind of sleepwalk through this game knowing that we have Vanderbilt next.
No.
You can't do that. Nothing's guaranteed. If you want to go to a bowl game, your priority is to win the next game to do so. I think you're right. I think we're going to come out fired up. I think that momentum from being at home last week and having that huge win and then staying at home in another conference game, absolutely huge. I fully expect to see a determined and a motivated Jeremy Pruitt squad coming out to Neyland tomorrow.
Before we hit the next break here, because this is a short segment, what do you guys think is like probably going to be the main key tomorrow? I know there's a bunch because you're facing a multifaceted Missouri offense, and you're going to have to, A, you know, obviously you have things to work on your defense if you want to try to stifle that attack. Not only Drew Locke, which we all know about, and we know how good he can be, but the running game. We harped on it so much yesterday about how good Missouri's running game has been the last two times the Vols have played the Tigers. And you know they have two running backs around that 700-yard mark in Roundtree and Crockett as well. So you have some stuff to work on there to try to make sure they have shortened drives. You know that. But also, at the same token, maybe the offense is the most important thing. Maybe you have to put up those points because maybe Mizzou, no matter how much you try to stop them, they may just still get theirs in the end.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what the main key is going to be tomorrow, because I think there's a lot that could be the answer, and I don't really think there's a wrong answer.
For sure. I think there's obviously a lot that needs to go right. For me, the biggest key to the game is your pass rush. I know they do have some good running backs. But hey, the strength of their offense is their quarterback that's probably going to go within the first two rounds of the draft next year, right? You got to have that pass rush, make them uncomfortable, maybe even get them out of the pocket. I'll be honest, I don't know how mobile he is, but, you know, typically
I'll look at his rushing attempts and his stats.
Typically, when you get the quarterback out of the pocket who's a perennial pocket passer, it's going to hurt his stats a little bit. You got to get pressure on him. Don't let him sit back and chuck that ball around, because when he does have that time, he's going to be really good. Do whatever you got to do to get the pass rush.
If you're able to get multiple sacks on Drew Locke, that may be the defensive line's best overall performance. And I say that's better than last week against Kentucky just because Missouri has only given up 12 sacks this year. They do have a very good pass-protecting offensive line. He's not invincible.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough.
12 sacks in 10 games?
Yes.
Oof. Yikes.
Yep. Let me look up Drew Long's rushing stats. He has positive rushing yards. He's got 117. Okay. So he can move around the pocket. He's got four rushing touchdowns. I don't know how many of those were scrambles or quarterback sneaks, but he's been in the end zone. That's just another stat that indicates he's had good pass protection because if he was getting sacked a lot, he'd have negative rush
yards. You said what? His rush yards was 114?
117.
117. Yeah. So even then, that's a little over what? 10-ish yards a game? Somewhere between 10 to...
Something like that. He's getting 2.9 per carry.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not a math major, all right? I don't know these things. However, less than 15 yards a game, you got to think running is not his specialty, to say the least. He can do it, but it's, you know, only 10 yards a game. Hey, push him out of the pocket. Make him throw on the run. Make him uncomfortable and throw it out of bounds.
You're going to have to do it early, too. Yeah. You don't want that Missouri offense to get comfortable in kneeling, because if they get comfortable, they get a couple scoring drives, if they take the crowd out of it, man. You see what that does in some games. If the crowd gets out of it, then the team might get out of it if it's going bad.
Yeah.
Y'all know. Just got to be very careful here. Take this next break here. Lucas Panzeca, sports director at WDKN and Dixon, contributor for Saturday Down South, Overtime, and Fox Sports Knoxville alum, will join us when we come back here, touch on a bunch of topics here. You are listening to Overtime here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back here on Overtime, about to talk to Lucas Panzeca here as he makes what's really his weekly appearance here. May not have a set day, but he always makes time in his busy schedule to remember his roots, remember where he came from. Lucas, we now, now we go over to the McKean Team phone lines. Bring on Lucas Panzeca. I'm going to start talking to him before he was on the line here. Lucas, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? I'm only 3 hours away, you know. It sounds like I moved to another country.
Well, I mean, it's basically another country to us, man. When we used to see
it
here.
It is a very different landscape.
You're a far cry away from our daily battles and birthdays, man. That's for sure.
Oh, I do miss the birthdays. They do on the morning show at the station. They do a celebrity birthday segment. It always brings me back.
Makes you miss it.
Well,
huh?
I bet they don't play Triple H's music beforehand.
No, they definitely don't.
Lucas, as we usually do when you come on here, looking forward to some college football action this week. And let's go ahead and make the first stop in Knoxville, the game that's on everyone's minds. Tennessee and Mizzou. Yeah, Mizzou up to a 6.5-point favorite right now as we speak, according to ESPN. We all know the storylines here. Tennessee wins. They're bowl eligible. Send those seniors out on top with a pretty big win here. Give you a lot more momentum that should carry over into next season as well. Mizzou, not a ranked team at 6-4, but you got to feel like still winning this one. That's another maybe signature-ish win for Pruitt, just given what this team has been through. What's your thoughts on this one, Lucas?
I'm surprised that line has moved up, to be honest, with the way Tennessee dominated Kentucky and whatnot. But yeah, man, it's the return of Derek Dooley. I'm sure y'all have talked about that plenty, but
gotta love him,
and he definitely deserves to be made fun of. He made some dumb decisions and did some stupid things as a head coach of Tennessee, but you also kind of got to give the man a little bit of credit. I mean, he came in wanted to make Missouri more balanced on offense, and you could argue that they're the second or third most balanced team in the SEC. DeMario Crockett has been running out of his mind, and Drew Locke is still Drew Locke. He's just a little thin on receiving options right now. And by the way, Albert O, the tight end, being out on Saturday is huge for Tennessee.
Bob Kessling breathes a big sigh of relief.
Oh, my God, yeah. Bob Kessling dodged a big bullet on that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were talking about, it's more than just Drew Locke. You mentioned Crockett. Larry Roundtree III as well. Both those guys around that 700-yard rushing mark. Tennessee and preventing Mizzou from having a lot of rushing yards the last 2 years is not worked out well. It's really not been Drew Locke that's killed Tennessee's defense the last two times these teams have matched up. It's been that Mizzou running game. But I have a feeling that it's not going to be the 400, 500 rushing yard games that Mizzou's had the last 2 years tomorrow. But it's going to be a big challenge containing a balanced offense like that.
Yeah, and with Kentucky, you can afford to sell out to stop the run, right? And that's what Tennessee did, and it worked big time. But I'm interested to see they get Trayvon Flowers back from breaking his collarbone. I believe he's going to play tomorrow, but it is going to be interesting. Drew Locke, again, without a couple big weapons. I mean, Albert O, I'm not even going to attempt to say his last name, leader in receptions and touchdowns for that receiving corps as a tight end. So that's a huge loss for them, and I wouldn't call this really a signature win for Jeremy Pruitt, but if he can go undefeated in November and 7-5, it's hard not to give him the coach of the year.
Yeah, he'll definitely be getting some consideration if he's able to do that. It's what Johnny Majors used to say, man. They remember what you do in November. So, I mean, it's always been a key month in Tennessee football history. That hasn't changed this time around. Real quick, before we get to some of these other games, give me a key or two for a Tennessee victory tomorrow.
I think the balls need to be balanced on offense like they were against Kentucky. They ran the ball extremely well. Very surprised at how they honestly just dominated the line of scrimmage, at least offensively. So offensive line played by far their best game of the year last week, and they're going to need a similar game against a really talented Missouri defensive line tomorrow to even keep up, because Missouri's going to score. Drew Locke is going to find a way to get down the field, which you hate to say because Derek Dooley's the one calling the plays, but I find it hard to think that Tennessee's going to hold them to a touchdown or two touchdowns like they did Kentucky.
Hey, okay, so I definitely agree with you on those, but kind of breaking it down even a little further, give me a player on both sides of the ball for Tennessee that you see as being a big X factor, whether they're a big name or not, just somebody who you feel like, man, this guy has to have a good game or else, you know, parts could fall off or things could break down a little bit.
It's hard to pinpoint one person, but I hate to be so general, but just talking about the secondary and the offensive line, but I mean, I really believe that. With Trayvon Flowers coming back, I mean, I guess I could point to Alante Taylor, who's had a really good year, one of the freshman defensive backs. I mean, those guys are going to have to keep Missouri's receivers in check and at least try to lock down on Drew Locke a little bit to focus on stopping the run. And that's not really been something a whole lot of teams have had success with. But defensively, I think that's got to be it. And then offensively, same deal. I mean, just open up lanes in the running game, and you know Jared Guarantano and these Tennessee receivers can tear you up if you have that balanced attack. So I hate to be that general, but I don't know that you can just point to one player on each side of the ball.
No, I think you nailed it.
Yeah, it's probably going to have to be another complete game on both sides of the football, but since you're playing a more dynamic offense, on defense you're probably going to have to step up another level. I mean, I'm confident that Jared Guarantano can have a good passing day against this Missouri secondary, one of the worst passing defenses in the conference. With everything being said, Tennessee's defense, though, I think the key number, and it's been the number all season, it's been 24. Whenever an opponent scored more than 24 points on Tennessee, they have lost. Do you think Tennessee's defense is capable of keeping Mizzou to 24 or less?
Yeah, I mean, certainly capable, and they're confident, too. I mean, the offensive line, too, everybody's confident on that roster right now. You can just see it after. I mean, they would have been confident had they beaten Kentucky, but that game was over at halftime. I mean, nobody in the stadium thought that Kentucky was going to put up three scores in the second half. So they're riding high right now, and, yeah, I definitely think that's possible. But yeah, you're pointing out that Mizzou pass defense, that's why that run game is going to be so important in that offensive line play to, you know, not let Jared Guarantano keep getting put on his back and let him beat Missouri through the air, because he definitely can. He's not going to lose the game for you.
Yeah, certainly not there. I'd have to agree with you with that. Lucas, I usually ask you about some other SEC games after we get done talking about the Tennessee game, but the SEC slate's kind of trash this week. It's pretty much evident by the fact they are choosing to put Tennessee-Mizzou as your 3:30 SEC game of the week on CBS tomorrow. So no SEC questions. I do think Texas A&M, UAB may actually be more intriguing than people think. With that being said, though, let's talk about your Titans. Huge AFC matchup, longtime rivals in the Colts. Tennessee has to travel up to Lucas Oil Stadium up there. I mean, a huge matchup for both teams. Titans have been one of the hotter teams in football the past couple of weeks. Fresh off the beatdown of the Patriots, it's still one of the most unbelievable things I've seen in recent memory in the NFL. The Colts, however, got a big win over Jacksonville last week. Lucas, give me some initial thoughts on this matchup here. Do you think the Titans can finally beat an Andrew Luck-led Colts team?
Yeah, he's 9-0 against him, and he is playing lights out right now. Like, forget about that 1-5 start for the Colts, because they've won three straight, and he's playing really good football. Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle, you could argue that's the best tight end duo in the NFL or in the AFC right now. And that run game behind Marlon Mack has been really good, too, behind a young offensive line. So the Colts are playing really good football. And a guy, I was driving into work today, and I heard the voice of the Colts on a national sports station saying that he's on pace to break, career records for this season, just the way he's been playing the last three games. So I don't know that they'll have kind of a mental block, because I don't think that that's really an issue with this team, but you really don't know what team you're going to get. Are they going to be able to sustain the last couple of weeks? Because, yeah, that Patriots game was really just, came out of nowhere. Who? If you had told me to bet money that the Titans would have Tom Brady benched 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I would have said you were crazy. So this Titans team is just so weird. But with the last 2 weeks, they're playing well, they're playing confident, but the Colts are too. So I think it's going to be a great game. I don't think it's going to be any kind of blowout. I think it'll definitely go to the end.
Before I ask you for score predictions here, first, real quick, looking at this injury report, what's the latest stash you've heard on Taywan Taylor and Tonjay Sharp at wide receiver for the Titans?
As of today, Jack Conklin is cleared from concussion protocol, the right tackle, and he's good to go for Sunday, which is big news. He was hurt in the Dallas game, but I don't believe Taywan Taylor did not practice yesterday, and I have to go back and see if he practiced today. I'm not quite sure. But I'd be surprised if he's good to go. I think Tajay Sharp will be good to go. Don't take my word for it, but I do know that Jack Conklin is cleared from concussion protocol, which will be huge for this run game.
There you have it. Okay, Lucas, it's prediction time. First, give me your score prediction for Tennessee-Missouri, and then your prediction for Titans-Colts.
Tennessee-Missouri, I got to go Tennessee in both of these. If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said a blowout win for the Titans, and I would have said a loss for Tennessee, but I think Tennessee wins a close one. I think that secondary plays just well enough to keep the run game in check, and they'll win it. I'll give it a 27-24. And then for the Titans, I think it's going to be close, man, down to the wire. I don't know that it'll really be a shootout. The Titans, number one scoring defense in the NFL right now, only allowing 16.8 points per game. Mm. I'm going to say Titans 20, Colts 17.
Oh, as soon as you get that prediction, Brandon Orick, noted Colts fan, walked in here dropping off the Jets pizza, Lucas.
Right. Yeah.
It's got piping room temperature.
Dropping off that room temperature Jets pizza. Oh, but hey, I'm sure it's going to be a great weekend of football, college, and NFL as well. Lucas, as always, man, we appreciate you joining us. Real quick, once again, tell the people where they can follow you on Twitter. Tell the people around the mid-state where they can listen to you as well.
Yeah, you can find me at Lucas Panzica, and WDKN are the call letters of the station. But I will say I'll be in Cookeville all day Saturday calling high school basketball, and then I'm going to pop over to Knoxville for Saturday night. We'll be finishing up around 5, so fortunately we'll have to miss the beginning of that Tennessee game. But we'll pop over to Knoxville, and Rick, if I run into you, you owe me a car bomb.
I was just about to say the same thing. I won't be here this weekend, so unfortunately I can't do that, but I owe you one. I'm a man of my word. Your team whipped the hell out of my team, and I will get you that soon.
All right, I trust you.
Sounds
all right,
good,
guys.
Lucas. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Lucas.
Good to talk to y'all.
That was Lucas Panzica, overtime alum, Fox Sports Knoxville alum, sports director at WDKN Radio out there in Dixon, Tennessee, contributor for Saturday Down South. Always great for him to come back to his roots. Never forgets the little people.
I love that guy.
Never forgets us. Hit this break here. Final segment, hour number one of overtime, coming up after this. Our friends at Wind River Golf and Wind River Living, all month this November, if you didn't get a chance to get on this in October, don't worry, you have plenty of time. All this month, text WR Golf to 31996. That is WR and the word golf to 31996. When you sign up, you'll receive info on upcoming events, promotions, and giveaways from Wind River Golf and Wind River Living by way of no more than 6 texts per month. They will not be blowing up your phone with spam. Once you do that, you will be entered in for the ultimate grand prize. That is 2 free months of unlimited golf at Wind River Golf Club, course, whatever it is. It's a golf club with a championship golf course, for sure. Oh, it's fantastic. Cannot beat it. And also, just for signing up, you're going to get a free fountain drink at the top of the hill grill at Wind River Golf Club. All you got to do is sign up. It's that easy. Go to windriverliving.com. You can book your tee time. You can make reservations. You can find out info on real estate opportunities. The Wind River Harbor and Yacht Club. Bed and breakfast at the Lakeside Inn. Fine dining at Citico's Restaurant. The expansive trail system as well. So much more. Wind River, right there in between Maryville and Lenoir City. Beautiful. Loudoun County, right next to Telco Lake, man. Cannot beat it. Check those guys out. Support us here at Fan Run Radio. One more time. WR Golf 231996. Short segment here. Let's talk about this story I really wanted to get to.
Okay.
This Division III team. I have to look it up real quick. But this is kind of sad.
Okay. I haven't heard this story yet myself.
A Division III school, that being Earl, I don't know if it's pronounced Earlham or Earlham College. I'm just going to go Earlham. Earlham College. They are in the midst of a 53-game losing streak. Their last game, they played Rose Holman. They lost 70-6. After this, the school said on Tuesday, they are canceling their 2019 football season.
Well, good!
Because of its lack of competitiveness.
They suck! That is terrible! They need a... Of course they canceled it! Oh my goodness!
I've never heard of something this bad.
Never let any of them play again.
There's been historic losing streaks. Oh, Lord, some of the ones I'm thinking off the top of my head. I know Columbia and the Ivy League, they had like a bad losing streak in the 90s. Prairie View A&M, they were notable for having a really long losing streak. None of it got so bad that they canceled the entire next season because you sucked that much.
All right, I get the love of your sport. Right, we all love something very, very much, whether it's a sport, whether it's something else, that we would pretty much do anything either for or to do. But you can't convince me that anybody loves playing the sport of football so much that they're going to go to a school on a 53-game losing streak. Like, that sucks!
Imagine being on that team. Like, if you try out, if you're a walk-on, if you got a Scully... Imagine that. Yeah! Playing for Earlham! Woo! Interim president of the school, Ava Stewart, said this in a statement. Our board of trustees has been looking at football with concern for several years, and we agree that it is time to consider whether or not success on the football field is a goal we should pursue. This decision was not made easily or lightly, but I am convinced that it is the right one at this point in the history of the college. The last time they won a game, October 2013. Mm.
When were they pursuing football success in the first place?
Obviously not for a while.
Clearly not since 2013.
The school said it's coming back in 2020, though. So they're just taking a one-year hiatus. However, it has to meet three conditions.
Okay, this should
they
be
include
fun.
Securing appropriate funding for football. Good luck with that. Imagine going to alumni. Hey, can you help us out here? We're in a bad way. The other conditions... they have to hire a, quote, highly qualified coach, and they have to recruit an appropriate number of players for the football team. Forget good players. They just hope to recruit enough players.
They need a fielded team. No. Dude, just leave it. Bury it 6 foot deep. You can't bring it back. You got sucked. You'll clearly never win a game again. That's disastrous.
Before we have to hit this break here, the record for all the NCAA losing streak is that Prairie View A&M streak. They lost 80 in a row from 89 to 1998.
And they did they cancel a team?
No. They somehow kept their program. Crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely insane. Hour number two of overtime up after this.